Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
All right, welcome in. Monday edition, Three Dudes with a View. My name's Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Looks like we're headed for some strong storms later in the day. I don't know what that background noise is, but we'll figure it out.
I think it's Mr. York's MSNBC.
Okay. All right, Clayton Harris, dude number two, good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning. And it is. It's coming from Mr. York's office, and as he steps in his chair.
There we go. Dude number one, Mr. Jim York, good morning.
For MSNBC or PBS.
Ms. York, can you hear us?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good deal.
Mr. York, what channel does that TV own in your office there? I just got to ask. It was rather...
No, that was NPR.
Okay.
There you go.
We're close enough. All right.
Who could have guessed it?
Y'all had a wager on it?
Well, you could hear it in the background, and it was hard to tell. It was rather loud, so.
Yeah, just NPR.
Okay.
100% Democrat propaganda. All right.
It's not like there's no Republican propaganda.
It's the truth. Something y'all short on.
Oh, boy. All right, we've got some special guests today. First of all, Ron Hard, native son, favorite son of Columbia, 77 graduates, Columbia Central High School. Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. And my colleague and friend for 25 years in the U.S. Attorney's Office, veteran of many wars, both domestic and foreign, literally, Mike Roden. How you doing, man?
Good morning, everybody. Happy 91st birthday to the man, the legend, Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Still going strong.
Still going strong. Well,
smoking Willie.
Yeah, look at he and Keith Richards. You starting to think y'all be studying what, you know, drugs and rock and roll and a lot of sex will do for your longevity.
We've got to start talking about the kind of world we want to leave for Willie Nelson and Keith Richards.
Yeah, jeez. Exactly.
All right, and we are pleased this morning. Representative Stotts Pecky has joined us to sort of give a wrap-up on the legislative session that has just ended in Nashville. Good morning, Representative Pecky.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, give us the lowdown. What happened?
Well, I got to ask the first question. Ron, where are you?
I'm in the bedroom. Major here.
You're kind of relaxed today a little bit?
Yeah, I'm pretty relaxed. I'm in the Hugh Hefner bedroom, yeah. Okay. Now, I'm just laying around the bed. Late night last night. They had J.J. Gray and Mofro were in Chattanooga, so I kind of a late night last night, so don't talk too loud.
Oh, boy.
Who was there?
J.J. Gray and Mofro. It's a band out of Jacksonville, Florida, really good. They played The Signal last night in Chattanooga, so it was good. They're really good. Kind of a jazzy, big band, Apalachicola type of bands. They're good. J.J. Gray, look them up. And Mofro, M-O-F-R-O.
I've given many interviews in my day, but never laying in a bed.
There you go. Well,
that's first time for everything.
It's what I aspire to.
Scott, I have a question. Are all the dogs on your farm alive and healthy?
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I saw one. I saw one in the background, Ron, a minute ago.
Yeah, I got Lily right here. She'll say hello. Lily, give me personal favor. Say hello to the man.
Mm. There we go. Okay.
Stay out of South Dakota, please.
Incredible.
Well done, Mike.
Let's let Representative Kopicki talk, and then we'll go into Kristi Noem.
Okay. Well, yeah. The 113th General Assembly has adjourned, sine die, happened last Thursday. There were a lot of things that were done and a lot of things that weren't done. First of all, for Murray County, the impact fee was passed and was signed by Governor Lee. So now Murray County will have the ability to let growth start to pay for growth. It'll go from 50 cents is what a current is in residential to $1.50, so triples. And then on commercial, it'll go from 30 cents to $1.50. So that's five times. I'm even going to try to figure it was cinquental.
Whatever. But close thank enough. You for
you and others did a lot of hard work to make that happen in Maury County. They needed it badly, so thank you.
So that's going to help our maintenance of our schools, and if the county commission needs to borrow money, they'll be able to use that as funds for that. Also, we were able to secure $231 million for Highway 31 expansion going north. That has been a thorn in southern Middle Tennessee side for a long time. So that money has been secured for the expansion there. It'll start. Now, it's a huge project because you can imagine all of the land acquisition they're going to have to do. And all of the infrastructure now currently runs right under the shoulders of Highway 31, which means if it's going to go to four lanes, they're going to have to dig it all up.
Oh, Lord. So that would be from Spring Hill north to 840.
840.
Spring Hill is where they have the traffic jams.
So that's going to help a lot. Then the completion of the new interchange on Buckner Road should be another relief valve there also. So good news for those two big projects.
You know, in some respects, though, Scott, and I'm just going to have to say this. I mean, I remember the big battle over when all that started to develop up there. And I mean, I vaguely remember that a lot of folks brought up to Spring Hill planners that, you know, if you allow all this development right up close to the road, you're going to have a disaster. We're going to have a traffic disaster. Mm-hmm. And so Spring Hill authorized it. Mm-hmm. And now they've come with their cup in their hand saying, well, we're the ones who caused this mess. We want the taxpayers of Tennessee to pay for it. Yes. I'm just saying.
I understand your concerns, but the job as a state representative is to represent the people and the people's wishes.
I know. So, I'm not criticizing you. It's just one of those things.
And then also the interchange on Kedron Road in Spring Hill, the traffic lights standards are being installed like they were on Port Royal when you get off of Saturn Parkway. So now we'll have traffic lights on Kedron, which should really help getting on and off of Kedron and 840 a lot more.
If I sounded critical of you on that last issue, I did not mean to. I mean, Spring Hill's got a problem. They came to their legislator for help, and you helped them, and that's how it works. And so I commend you for getting that done. You got to play the ball where it lies.
That's correct. Also, paving and potholes. That's going to be the new words we're going to hear around southern Middle Tennessee for a while. Now with the warming weather, TDOT will be out there starting all the paving and pothole projects. So when you see the crews out there, give them a break, slow down, make sure we don't have any accidents around our work crews. And then lastly, for Maury County and across the state, the fourth grade retention has been fixed in the state of Tennessee. Retention will be at the request of either the parent, the teacher, or the principal of those students that are at risk of being retained. Excuse me. They will all come together and meet on those students and determine what's the best path forward for those students. So that has been fixed. The governor has said he will sign that. That was in the very last day. The last bill that I carried was the education cleanup. It did some other things for education also, but that was one of the big ones, was the fourth grade. It was all there.
So third grade retention is gone.
It's
now?
Still there. It's still there. But the big problem was those children that went on to fourth grade,
right,
that did not show the adequate growth. They were having to show adequate growth in fourth grade. They were mandatorily going to be retained. Now there is a bypass. There's an option for parents, teachers, and principals to provide a workaround for those students with either getting extra help in summer school or extra tutoring in fifth grade.
Okay.
So we did fix that. Also, the budget, $52.8 billion with a B. We've cut roughly $9 billion out of the budget from last year. Most of that was federal money that came down during COVID. That's all starting to evaporate, and so we are backfilling it with some other money from the state. We are adding $17 million for 60 new state troopers on top of the 100 we added last year. Basically, and I've said this off the air, it's for that I-40 corridor between Memphis and Nashville. If you've ever driven there recently, you can walk across the hoods of all the state troopers because they are looking for fentanyl and sex trafficking coming out of Texas from the border. We are really putting a huge dent in the fentanyl right now coming across through Memphis. Sex trafficking is something that we have to continue to work on, but these 60 new troopers will be added to the 100 from last year, and so we will be saturating southwest Tennessee with state troopers looking for these criminals coming in.
Was there a study done Senate to show that there was a need for extra troopers?
That is right. Yes, we saw that the fentanyl that was coming through Tennessee just off of the small amounts that we were getting was leading us to believe that if we had a bigger presence there, we could get more of these, more of this fentanyl off the streets. Okay. Also, we increased it $15 million now for our rural volunteer fire departments and our rescue squads at EMS to be able to pull money down. So Maury County's volunteer fire department will have access to more funds this year so that when these volunteers are running into fires to pull you out or accidents, they'll have the most up-to-date equipment to be able to do those jobs. So we're going to make sure that that continues on. And this, we got $3.3 million more, I guess, and this is where you guys might come in. When someone goes in and is arrested and they want to do a mental health evaluation on that person, either the locals or individuals are having to pay for those evaluations. We wanted to make sure there was no financial hindrance to getting that done. So the state now is going to pony up $3.3 million for mental health evaluations on people who are arrested to make sure that we're getting the proper evaluation on these individuals so that the attorneys know going forward that there may be a mental health issue here to help, I guess, when you guys go into court to figure out what's going to happen.
That's great.
That's good. No, in the state system, I think there always has been some kind of state-supported mental health, but it's certainly could use all the bolstering that it could get. It's never been adequate, never been enough. Mm-hmm. Been very hard to access. So if you've got that bolstered, that's a good thing.
And then we're also going to add $1.5 million to reduce recidivism of repeat misdemeanor offenders to try to get them the training or help they need or medical help they need to make sure that they don't come back. Sheriff Rowland right now in Maury County runs a very good program on anti-recidivism. And so we're going to, at the state level,
yes, he does.
We're going to contribute more money into that to help do that. 13 new positions for the TBI. That was solely for the rape kits. Remember, we had the issue with the rape kits backlog. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hire 13 more positions for the TBI to help get those expedited so that, once again, attorneys can do the job that they're supposed to do when they're prosecuting people and know who they're prosecuting. We strengthened deterrence to curb juvenile crime, prioritize public safety when setting bond amounts, increase protections for domestic violence victims, increase support for victims of child sex trafficking, and enhance penalties for threats of mass violence. On health care, we have increased more money into 10 care, over $300 million more. We want to be able to expand it more a little bit to cover more people and also provide better services for those that are on 10 care to help them get the help that they need moving forward. On economic development, the big one here that gave a lot of us indigestion in the General Assembly was to franchise and excise tax. It was one of the biggest tax cuts for corporations in Tennessee's history, $393 million plus another $1.5 billion on refunds for us overtaxing corporations. And so we had some very spirited debates in the caucus about this, but our AG said we're either going to pay now or pay later, and pay later would be more expensive than the people of Tennessee. So that's where we are, about halfway through it. I hear the music. We'll take a break, and I'll finish this up and answer some questions.
That sounds great. Thank you, Scott.
Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Dr. Dominic Mancini from the Dr. Gill Center. Have you been injured in a car accident? Are you still in pain? Untreated whiplash injuries to the spine may lead to future conditions such as neck pain, low back pain, and headaches. The doctors at the Dr. Gill Center specialize in detecting and treating these conditions before they get worse. Our accident consultations are free. Call me, painfree.com, or call 615-551-9224.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench. Still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
My name is Delp Kennedy. I'm dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. How you doing?
Doing well, Delp. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How are you?
Good morning, Delp. Good morning, everybody.
All right. Then native son, favorite son of Columbia, live from the Hugh Hefner bedroom, Ron Hart. How are you, man? Can't hear you, Ron.
I think you're muted, Ron.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. All right.
Those are right. You know, Hugh Hefner died. You know what day he died on? He died on Wednesday, hump day.
Oh.
Little known fact.
All right. Now we know.
Sometimes things just make sense, though.
Yep. Okay, I got you. All right. And regular special guest dude on Monday, my colleague for 25 years in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Nashville, Mike Roden. How you doing, man?
Morning, everybody.
And we are
privileged to have with us this morning, Scott Spicky, Representative Scott Spicky. He's given us a rundown on the legislative session in Nashville, which is just closed last week, and a rundown on what they passed, what they didn't pass, and what the effect of all that may be. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I'll continue the story, and then I'll wrap up here and take questions from y'all. So, we've seen the revitalization of our square in Columbia. That's been investments that the state has made, helping them out. We've also invested $36 million more to help distressed counties do the same thing. Wayne County, Lawrence County, Perry County, their squares.
Yeah.
To be able to pull money down to start to revitalize all those squares across the state of Tennessee. Education. This is the big one. We added $261 more million for education. That keeps us on track. Of next year, all our starting pay for our teachers will be at $50,000. We also, because remember I said the ESSER money from COVID is going away, we had to put money in from the state to keep our summer school programs funded. We added $30 million for summer learning programs. Also, $3.2 million for AP courses to students across rural Tennessee. Well, somebody asked a question on that is, well, how is Perry County going to offer an AP class? Because we allow virtual to be able to do that now.
Okay.
And so now kids across the state are going to have access. We're going to fund the virtual programs even more so that kids in rural communities will have access to AP programs to help with dual enrollment to get them going, too.
That's fantastic.
$2.5 million to strengthen students' readings and phonics skills. That is to hire those reading coaches to help kids learn how to read with phonics. So we've upped the amount, another $2.5 million on top of where we were. And then the two bills that I've carried, one is working on how we're going to implement artificial intelligence in our classrooms and in our K-12 and our colleges. That bill did pass, signed by the governor, and so we were one of the first states to do that. We're going to come back next year with the plan and the guidelines on how teachers and students can use artificial intelligence. There are good applications for artificial intelligence, and there are bad applications for it, and try to figure that out on an ever-changing. And then the other bill that passed, if you remember a couple years ago, we changed how we were going to teach reading. We went back to phonics. We're going to do the same thing. I carried the mathematics bill. We're going to start looking at how we're going to deliver mathematics to kids across the state of Tennessee and train our teachers and train our students that are in our college prep courses that are getting ready to teach and deliver mathematics to our kids so it's more seamless across the state, because we know how teachers are so fluid right now and students are so fluid, to make sure that they're being taught the same way as they go across the whole state so we can all learn mathematics. Finishing up. We have increased protections for children online from accessing pornography. We have required parental consent for minors using social media. And then on the conservation front, which is very big for Murray County here, $59 million for Tennessee state parks and capital projects. If you went out to Henry Horton, you saw the new restaurant they have out there that's been built. That was built by investing your state money out there. $51 million to the Heritage Preservation Fund to preserve land across the state. Believe it or not, Tennessee has some of the best park system in the country.
It's nice.
And we aim to protect that. Also, this is good for Murray County. $20 million to expand Blue Way Trail access. We just pulled down. Senator Hensley and I were able to get two grants for Columbia and Murray County to put Blue Way access into the Duck River. One for Murray County at Yanali, the new Yanali Park, and for Columbia at Riverwalk. So now you could kayak and canoe from Yanali short down to the Riverwalk and then go around the dam. And then there's going to be another Blue Way access down at, not Henry Horton.
Not Henry.
You know, the one that's south by
Chickasaw.
Chickasaw. So now you could kayak all the way down, get out, go around the dam, put back in, and go on down to Chickasaw Trace and be able to kayak and float all the way down to Duck River. $10 million to expedite the Bill Dance Signature Lake Initiative. We are trying to become one of the best fishing destinations in the country. We're one of the top five right now, and we aim to go past Texas and Florida to get into the top three. So we're investing in that for outdoor activities. And then lastly, $3 million more for our state parks for more accessible to Tennesseans with disabilities. We are providing those, I guess they're like caterpillar wheelchairs on tracks that our state parks have for people with disabilities so that they can actually get out in these wheelchairs they can get, and they can drive around and go on down the pathways and see our state parks. So that's the base. That's a bit $52.8 billion of your money that we have allocated. Everything is funded that was funded last year. and hopefully we'll have better outcomes next year in our budget to be able to do more projects down for our counties and our cities. So, questions.
How's the rainy day fund looking?
We add another $200 million. We have $2.08 billion in the rainy day fund. So if you divide that by $52 billion, well, we have about a week's worth of funds.
Can you tell us more about the parental consent on social media?
Yes. So what we're doing is the providers of social media content, there's going to be a, from what I understand, is there's going to be a form that a parent will fill out with the provider that says, yes, I'm going to allow these sites on my child's phone access to these sites. And if the parent says no, then they'll put the blocks in on the front end.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I totally support the concept. I just wonder how it's going to be policed.
That's the hard part is sometimes you pass a bill, right? And then you come back later of, okay, here's the shortfalls of implementation. And then you come back next year with a cleanup bill to provide the necessary guardrails for implementation. And then the pornography one is basically it has to be those sites have to ask for visual ID of the person that is engaging in these sites, and it has to be renewed every hour. So you just can't have your buddy give him the driver's license, and then he walks away, and you can be on it indefinitely. Every hour it has to be renewed. And so we're trying – I can go back and show you statistical data in education that in 2010, the advent of social media and the iPhone came about, and ever since then, education has been on a downturn, and one of the biggest problems that we talk to teachers about in the classroom is the kids accessing their cell phones. Well, they're not cell phones anymore. They're smartphones during class.
Sure.
So we're trying to put a curb into that to make sure. Now, there are applications. If you ever took trigonometry with sine and cosine and all those different things you have to know, there are pertinent applications on a phone that you can get those calculators to help you access and do the calculations. Remember, when we grew up, gentlemen, it was the slide rule.
Yep.
Well, nobody uses the slide rule anymore. So it's just that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to
understand.
And you had another question about something.
Well,
go ahead.
I did want to ask you about the bill that has passed mm-hmm. regarding minors seeking abortions or trans care mm-hmm. out of state. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that a parent can take a child, and mm-hmm. I forgot what the age is. Is it 14? What is the age limit here?
I think it's over 14.
Over 14. Out of state to get an abortion. But no one else. If someone else, like if I took my neighbor's kid to another state in order to get abortion or trans care, I would be violating the law.
You
I could
be
arrested.
The law. That's correct.
Is it misdemeanor or a felony?
I think it's a felony if you do it. Now, okay. A parent can assign you the ability to go do that.
Okay.
A parent can give
consent.
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 It's parental consent.
Sure this came up during the debate. There are situations where, you know, sadly, there's incest involved
yes.
or the parent is not
willing.
Not willing or not a good caretaker, mm-hmm. and the parent is the problem. And what protections, if any, are in the bill for those situations?
Well, the problem you have is in the state of Tennessee, if you're a minor under the age of 18, the parents make the decisions for you. That's what they do. And so we protected that ability. The problem we had is there were political groups and abortion groups that when we in Tennessee a couple years ago passed our abortion law, they said publicly that they would come willingly into Tennessee and transport people outside the state, usurping parental authority. And we wanted to make sure that we sent a message that if you do that without the consent of the parent, then there'd be consequences to you for doing that. We did make it perfectly clear that a parent does have the ability to delegate that authority for someone to carry their child outside the state of Tennessee if they deem it necessary. But we always, in Tennessee, we've always reverted back to that a minor is under the care and guidance of a parent.
Yeah, and Scott, you know, and I don't think you've, you know, I've practiced in state courts over the years, and including the juvenile courts. Now, if you've got a problem with the parent, you know, or the parent's on drugs, not good, sexually abusing the child, whatever,
upon petition, the juvenile courts can act, and they can remove the child from the home, you know, empower another person to have the role of parent, including giving consent for medical procedures, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So the juvenile courts have long held the power to make adjustments or to intervene in a dysfunctional family.
And again, how are you going to police this? If I took my neighbor's kid to Illinois somewhere to have an abortion, how are you going to find that out?
So that's a great question. It's just like when you go home today and you speed, right?
Yeah.
You run the risk of being caught.
Yeah.
Right. And you're willing to accept that risk.
So if I'm pulled over for something else and they say, hey, what are you doing here?
Right. Well, I mean, if you have a pregnant child sitting next to you, you might get a question.
You might not know if she's pregnant.
In theory.
I understand.
But it's one of those things is we're just sending a message that don't do this.
Okay.
Now, if you do this, then you run the risk of being caught. And that's like with any law, right? I mean, we have books, and you guys know this, we have volumes of books about breaking the law. If you follow the law, then you have to worry about those books. If you do break the law, then those books will come into your life. Maybe.
The next question is, as a lawyer, I'm a little concerned about the constitutionality of this.
Well, that's what we have our attorney generals for, and that's what other people have their attorneys for, and they will go to court.
This, I assume, will be challenged.
Mike, now, what,
those groups you're talking about, and again, I'm really not taking sides here. I'm just pointing out some flaws here. Mm-hmm. I think that the groups
Potential
you're talking
flaws.
About will probably try to challenge the rule. They may have a test case.
All ACLU will be there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But so you're talking about the constitutionality of the parental consent to take a
The right to go to different states if I want to. If I wanted to, take my neighbor's kid, there's nothing weird going on here. If I want to take my wife and I want to take our neighbor's kid to Illinois, to go see the Superman Museum, for instance, in Metropolis, and then on the way, hey, well, as long as we're here, we'll let her get an abortion, and I'm just, I think that there is a constitutional argument to be made that this is violating. Well,
And the actual crime would be in the other state. The crime would be in the other state, right? Are you saying just crossing the line for that purpose is a crime?
That's how I understand.
That's correct, Ron. In that situation, if those neighbors would take those parents' children across the state line on their own volition to get an abortion, that would be illegal in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't be illegal in Illinois.
Crossing the line is illegal.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, the line is illegal. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, it. Yeah. And Mike, I disagree with you. I mean, the power of the state to regulate and control family situations, juveniles, parental control, all of that, that's been recognized throughout
American history. Let me ask you a question, though. With two lawyers here, if my neighbors came and took my child, who's a minor, across state lines, wouldn't that be kidnapping?
Without consent, yes.
So now there's a whole other problem there, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you got federal kidnapping charges there.
I mean, yeah, basically, yeah, it's you can't
potentially, yeah, but again, if we're talking about a 14-year-old,
but can't a 14-year-old enter in that kind of consensual contract?
That would be a legal question,
and there would be, and that's why we have attorneys on every street corner.
Okay. But I'm just saying this may be costing the state a lot of money in lawsuits to defend this law. In order to send a message,
if it's challenged,
right? It's a solution in search of a problem, what it is, and perhaps over sending a message. I think most of the abortions are happening up in Johnson City, around the Virginia line. I'm pro choice, so I donate some money up there, and I know that most East Tennessee, at least, maybe Nashville, they go to Johnson City, which is in Virginia, the Virginia Peace side. There's a huge abortion clinic there. Where people in the state go. FYI.
Well, interesting.
Again, this law is about parental consent, so that's really not unusual. And the long-standing parental consent for anything, a minor child is subject to the control of his or her parents. Well, that's always
and
been.
In most situations, that's that's great. But again, there are those cases where the parent is the bull. And I'm just,
That's what the juvenile courts are for.
All right.
All right, let's take a break. Goodbye.
This is It's Rick Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. What is a full-service jeweler? Experienced staff, custom designers, in-house jewelry repairs, and beautiful jewelry. Yes, at Tillis Jewelry, we are passionate, knowledgeable, and committed to integrity. We strive to be the best in our community and in our profession. We build long-term relationships and become part of family traditions that will cross generations. We delight clients by providing an unparalleled selection, superior service, and exceptional value. Tillis Jewelry, we exceed your expectations.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Hiller Smile and Save sales event is here. This month, get $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration with descaler, and select new whole home generators. Or take advantage of Heller's $99 AC tune-up or $99 drain cleaning special. When your home needs plumbing, HVAC, or electrical service, call the Happy Face Truck. Smile and save at happyhiller.com today.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113. Or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
This is Del Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. Today I am at Foodland. It's bright, it's airy, it's stocked with everything you could possibly imagine wanting from a grocery store. There is a new circular out with all sorts of good specials. These specials will run through next Tuesday, April the 30th, and then after that there'll be some more new specials. I'm talking with Bobby Howell, your hometown grocer here at Foodland in downtown Columbia. Bobby, what's happening at Foodland this week?
We got ground beef family pack for $2.99 a pound. Fresh corn on the cob, 4 ears for $1.99. Lux beans, 88 cents a can.
And don't ever forget, guys who grill, they come to Foodland, best meat department in Murray County. And that's just a few of the specials that are in this circular. It's chock full of things for you and your family. You can get them from your paper or at the front door here at Foodland. Bobby Howell, have a great week.
Thank you.
Are you prepared for what many experts believe to be an exponential tax increase when the Trump tax cuts end here soon? In addition to protecting your hard-earned money during your lifetime, what about college planning? Would you like to see an excellent alternative to the 529 plan? If you think you can do a better job of spending your money than the federal government, give us a call. Call us at 931-269-9520, 931-269-9520, or go to optimalfinancialplanning.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Murray County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
All right, welcome back, Three Dudes with a View. My name's Del Kennedy. I'm dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
All right, native son, favorite son of Columbia, Ron Hart.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning.
And regular guest on Monday, my colleague in the U.S. Attorney's Office for 25 years, Mike Roden.
Good morning, everybody.
And we're pleased to have Representative Scott Sapecki with us this morning, giving us a rundown on the legislative session, which is just closed. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, Mr. York, you've been unusually quiet. What kind of questions do you have?
Well, I was just thinking about the dismal 113th legislative session that was held in Nashville, and I hear Representative Sapecki talk about all those things that he passed, but the major thing that I think concerns people is guns in schools. Mm-hmm. and allowing teachers. And I'd like to know if there's an immunity to the teacher that's carrying a gun in school.
No, sir. There is not. If a teacher wants to exercise their constitutional right to carry, one of the things that we did, and it came through our education committee, Mr. York, and you ask a very good question here, is I think there's already 17 other states that allow this. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just we're not plowing new fields here in this. But one thing we did do is we have the, I guess, most stringent application process for a teacher to be able to do that. Number one, they're going to have to go through a mandatory background check. Number two, they're going to have to take a mental health evaluation. Number three, they're going to have to go through the 40 hours of post-certification. Number four, they're going to have to do crisis training and learn how to interact with their law enforcement in the school on a crisis intervention plan in the school themselves.
And this is all at the teacher's expense.
All at the teacher's expense, plus the 40 hours of post-certification is renewal every year, so you have to be recertified every year by the sheriff or the head law enforcement agent. If you go through all of those steps and you pass all of those steps, which is a very daunting task, the next thing you have to do is you have to get permission from the head law enforcement agent. Then you have to go and get permission from the superintendent, and you have to get permission from the principal of that school. Knowing all along, to answer your question, Mr. York, is if you discharge your firearm, as the law states, you are responsible for that bullet wherever it goes. Now, this is not in the intent of having teachers running down the hallway chasing people with guns in the hallway. No. The intent is, like we saw in Covenant, if by chance that teacher who came out into the hallway after she heard the shooting would have been armed, she could have had a chance to defend herself instead of standing there and being basically executed by someone with a firearm. So do we think, Mr. York, that this is going to be widespread application? The answer is no. What we do think is there's 550 open SRO, those are school resource officers. There are 500 open spots across the state of Tennessee, mostly in your very rural counties, that can't find people to become SROs. And so what we think will happen is these rural communities, possibly your Perrys, your Waynes, your Hardens, Grundy counties, what they'll do is they will get teachers trained in a way that they can help defend their children. That's all.
Several counties have already announced that they will not participate in this.
Well, sort of. Several superintendents have announced that. I don't think the law, and Mr. York, you're an ex-school board member, I don't think the law permits the superintendent to make that call that they're going to have a blanket statement that they're not going to allow this. I think what's going to have to happen is school boards are going to have to act, because those are the elected representatives of the people. All the director of schools is they look at an individual application and they give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But I think what you're going to see is a lot of these letters, like from Williamson County, we've seen that's not going to stand up. What's going to have to happen is the school board's going to have to act.
Yeah, I was really surprised
surprised when Williamson County superintendent announced mm-hmm. that he would not be doing this. Because, again, the stereotype of Williamson County is a pretty conservative Republican county.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the superintendent announced that, I thought, wow, that's, you know,
bad news. A lot of liability.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, he's an attorney, too.
So. Yeah. So, and the other question I have is, I guess two things. One, I think there are certainly teachers that we've all had in our background who you think, yeah, he would be a responsible, he or she would be a responsible person to be armed. And then we all have teachers we know from our past who say, oh God, I hope he doesn't have a gun. So, you know, I understand you have processes to weed out the people who don't need to be having guns, but mistakes are made, and you, where a teacher who passes everything and he's carrying a weapon, is he carrying it on him at all times? Or because again, you could see situations where, you know, by mistake, a child could access that gun.
It has to be carried at all times. Has to be carried concealed at all times. No one in the school will know who's carrying except the school resource officer and the administration.
Okay.
And so you don't know this.
You don't think that's going to get around?
Well, it's possible, but this is one of the things that we were kind of shocked. A superintendent didn't have to take any position because nobody would know whether they said yes or no to an individual. But what it would allow them to do is change the signs on the outsides of the school as a warning that there are people inside the school authorized to carry a firearm. That's all they have to say. And when you go back and look at the Covenant shooter, she intended to go to Opry Mills to shoot that place up.
Yeah.
But she wrote she didn't do it because they had security there that had firearms. She was worried about getting killed herself. So she chose
the Covenant. Did the Covenant have an SRO? Excuse me, Scott. Did Covenant have an SRO on campus?
They do have an SRO that day.
Did they have one doing the shooting?
No, sir. He was on vacation.
Okay. So an SRO would have helped solve that problem.
Absolutely.
Instead of arming teachers. And I'm concerned about all the responsibility teachers have.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're asking them to do something else.
Well, no, Mr. York.
Ask him to, his volunteer.
No, Mr. York, we're not asking anybody to do anything. All we're saying is that if you believe that you want to go through all of this training to protect the children that you have in your classroom, that yes, you can do this. However, there is a very high bar. I mean, if you talk to anybody if you bring Sheriff Rowland on here and ask him what is the main thing that weeds people out of law enforcement, it's the mental health evaluation. It's extremely difficult to pass. And so if you find someone that's willing to pay for all of this training, pay for all of these evaluations, pass them all, and the sheriff has enough confidence in them to do their job, basically what they're missing is the law enforcement ability to arrest people. So they're basically receiving all the same training, basically as a law enforcement person without the law enforcement credential, and the sheriff's willing to sign off on them.
And they don't have any immunity if something were to happen.
No, sir. That's the responsibility of carrying that firearm.
Yeah.
Because the other concern, I think, for most people is a crossfire situation.
That's correct.
So,
And that's one thing we've made perfectly clear. We do not want teachers with firearms running down the hallway like an SRO officer would be doing. What we want them to do is if you believe that you want to have the ability to defend yourself, if you go back and look at a lot of these shootings, they're pulling on doors, they're trying to get into classrooms. Well, if you don't have a weapon in there, and they open that door, you're at the mercy of that person. And so we think across the state, Mr. York, it's going to be mostly in your very rural communities. We think maybe 20 teachers across the state might be able to go through the qualifications to be able to do it and want to do it. It's a big responsibility. It's a huge responsibility.
Well, you know, the other thing I'm concerned about, it constantly feeds the misinformation about public schools are dangerous places to be. And you got to be armed, or you got teachers armed that's going to protect the students. That is something left field. I don't think
Covenant,
that's the case.
Covenant's a private school; didn't protect them.
Well, Mr. York, I can probably maybe push back on you a little bit about that. The number one cause that teachers right now are leaving the profession, Mr. York, is assaults on teachers in the classroom.
That's not the case.
That's factual data that we get from the state.
A small percentage of that happening across the state in schools.
Well, Mr.
It's
York,
not like you got blatant attacks on teachers all over the state. That's misinformation.
Mr. York, that's in the news.
That's happening right here in Murray County.
In Murray County, Mr. York. We got teachers that are...
How many?
Well, are you qualifying it that one's...
Yeah, I want to know how many teachers are attacked in public schools in Murray County.
Well, Mr. York, it's one of the main reasons that we have problems of kids going to out of school suspension is for assaults either on students or teachers. I mean, it's documented.
I hear something almost
weekly. Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
I hope that answered your question about it's an ability to do something. We think it's going to have very limited application. Murray County, and remember, we passed the SRO bill last year where we're paying at the state level. We're using your money as taxpayers to put an SRO in every public and private school in the state.
Why don't you just put more SROs in schools instead of arming teachers?
Mr. York, I agree with you, but in these rural communities, we have over 550 open positions that they can't fill in over a year and a half.
They got sheriff's departments, right? Are they hiring sheriff's departments?
That's the problem, Mr. York, is they're trying to find people to be able to want to be deputies in law enforcement. That's the problem. It's not that the money's not there to pay them. It's that you got to have an individual who wants to do it. And it's a responsibility that when you take a sidearm and you swear an oath to, you know, as a law enforcement agent, you are willing to take a life, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that these days.
Yeah, and
other quick question I got for you.
Yes, sir.
How many people are you all helping to expand 10 care, but you won't expand Medicaid and Medicare?
Well, on 10
for the ACA.
So what we're hoping to do, Mr. York, is we put an additional. Remember, we had that shared savings plan. I'll watch my time here. We had that shared savings plan where we returned over $300 million into 10 care, plus we put an additional $200 million into it this year. So over $500 million. We think we're going to expand it hopefully by another 100,000 people, which is going to close that gap on those who need it the most. And plus, we're going to expand coverage to include things like mental health and chiropractic care. Just more holistic approach to medicine.
So we'll still have 200,000 people without health care, right?
That is correct.
And no rural hospitals.
Tennessee is one of the it's a dwindling number of states that still have not expanded Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand a lot of red states didn't want to do it because it had Obama's cooties on it, and they don't want to touch it. You know, but most of the red states now have come around and are expanding it. Why not Tennessee?
That's a question I'll answer another day.
Uh-oh. There we go.
All right.
delay.
Okay.
It'll be affordable, though. It was Affordable Health Care Act. I thought medical care would be affordable now. What happened with that?
It's a very popular program.
North Carolina got a billion dollars.
I knew exactly what would happen once they passed
dollars.
It. You know? It's the same thing you did with Medicare and Social Security. You griped about it for decades, and then all of a sudden, oh, wow, I'm protecting
everybody
Social Security. I'm protecting the ACA.
Everybody else is playing for it, though.
Just remember that it's coming from an entity that's $31, $32 trillion in debt.
Right.
So. All right. We will see you tomorrow. Scott Specky, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
The update.
Have a great day, everybody.